Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, we're so glad to be with you once again, wherever you are, and I hope that you are enjoying the blessings that God has given you, the blessings of knowing that you're a child of the King and that one day you'll meet Him and you're part of God's great family that will be in heaven with Him forever and ever. And today, once again, we will be talking about one of the passages of Scripture, probably one of the most important in the whole Bible, and yet it's hardly ever discussed. And so you stay with us, but first we get a report from Pastor Al Davis, our scientist in residence.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be with you again. And just a reminder to check out Bruce's website, whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you'll find more information out about Bruce on whereisgodsword.com. And you can also listen to past programs of Where is God's Word. You can listen to, I think we've got programs right now going all the way back to May of 2014. So that's 3 years worth, I guess. We've also got some other things of Bruce singing on there, some teaching and preaching on there, and his article, Correcting the King James Bible, or booklet, I should say, Correcting the King James Bible. You can read that on there. And like I said, information about Bruce, even a little information about myself, and some connections links to some resources, some of the resources that Bruce has talked about from time to time on whereisgodsword.com.
And while you're at it, you can mention when your program is on, too.
Well, we're also on 1220 AM WHKW every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and then every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight. We have a live call-in program featuring questions from callers about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. So we do that every Friday from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and every Sunday from 11 o'clock until midnight. And that's 11 o'clock at night, obviously. and there's a link, I think, to that at whereisgodsword.com. So I encourage people to go there. Well, I wanted to touch on something. One of my favorite things that I've always found fascinating, since I actually do have a biology degree, that's why Bruce calls me the scientist in residence, but even though I didn't specialize in genetics, I had to study genetics when I was in college, and I just find it fascinating, especially in light of, you know, some passages in the Bible, and we've touched on some of these from time to time here on this segment, but, you know, the Bible says in Genesis 3:20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living, and we've talked about how genetics has shown that every human being is a descendant of one woman, and that's due to the DNA that's in the mitochondria that's in your cell, and that is basically inherited from only your mother, the mitochondria, and the DNA that's in that. And through that, they've shown that everybody's descendant of one woman. They've named her Mitochondrial Eve, and we've talked about that. And they've also shown through some studies in variation in mitochondrial DNA that we all come from three main lines that are descended from Mitochondrial Eve. And we've shown, too, that when you look at how people divided up after they got off from the ark, we understand that that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 18 and 19, it says, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread, meaning the whole earth was repopulated with the descendants of these three men, which would mean their three wives as well. And so DNA authenticates the scripture here in Genesis 9, verse 18 and 19, as well as the statement in Genesis 3, chapter 20. And then also they found that everybody is the descendant of one man. They call him Y chromosome Adam, because men, of course, have the XY chromosome. Women have the double X chromosome. And so looking at the Y chromosome in men from all over the world, they have come to the conclusion that we're all descended from one man. Now, we've talked about some of these things in the past, but one of the things I found that's really interesting is in Genesis chapter 10, there's a passage here, and let me get turned over there. In verse 32, it says, and I'll start in verse 31, actually. It says, verse 32, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Now, Genesis chapter 10 is kind of the table of nations. It's sort of a genealogy of the first few generations after Noah with his sons and his sons' offspring during this time. And what's really interesting in this is that when we think in light of the fact that at the Tower of Babel, the nations of the world went out from there, or the people went out from there, I should say, when their languages were confused. And people wonder, well, how were these languages confused? Some people think, well, they just were confused and people sorted themselves out on similar languages, and that's how the nations came. But here in Genesis chapter 10 that I read there, it was through the nations that are outlined in Genesis chapter 10 that the nations of the world, or the earth, was divided by these nations. So that would tell us that at the Tower of Babel, when God confused the languages there in Genesis chapter 11, verse 7 and 8, that he must have confused the languages along the lines of these nations. And I don't want to take up too much time with this, and maybe we'll revisit this again at another time. But what's interesting is, through the study of genetics, they have shown that, like I said, we've all come from one of these three women, one of the wives of Noah's sons. And this has shown that we've all divided along the lineages of the nations that are listed in Genesis chapter 10, which means that the reason for a lot of the variation in the different peoples of the world, everything from skin color, hair color, eye color, stature, various things like that, is all divided along these lines. And so God would have confused the languages here in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 6, when the Bible said, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. That's referring to building the Tower of Babel. And now nothing will be restrained from them they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, that there and there confound their language, that they may not understand one speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. And that scattering, according to as we saw there in chapter 9, was on the basis of these nations in chapter 10. And this is interesting. There in chapter 10, the nations were divided in the earth. And it's interesting that genetics, again, bears witness to this. And as we study this, we find that the various mutations in these three main families of mitochondrial DNA are geographically specific. And guess what? They follow the same general patterns as the areas where Noah's descendants went. Shem, his descendants, stayed largely in the Middle East, traveled into the East. Ham's descendants descended down into Africa and also in parts of the Middle East. And Japheth's descendants up into Europe and in parts of India and areas like that. And as an incidental thing, and I'll turn things back over to Bruce, languages, families of languages reflect that as well. That's another topic for another day. But isn't that amazing, Bruce, how all these studies continually support the Word of God.
Yes, and you know, there's ancient history books too. They're written far back, and this sort of puts the information that we have even from them and puts it all together in the Bible, although the Bible is much more accurate than they are. So it's really good information. Well, thank you for that report. And today I want to talk about something that probably is one of the most important sections of the Bible, and yet it's one of the least talked about. I very seldom heard messages on the radio and television on this subject. And although we have talked about it a number of times, but it's worth repeating over and over, because we're talking about where is God's Word here on the program, and it deals with this. Now, in chapter 3 of Genesis, it says this: "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now, they have what is called the law of first mention in studying the Bible. And so you see what is going to follow. And it says the serpent, referring to the devil, and he was more subtle, that it was tricky. That is someone that would trick you, than any of the beast of the field. Now, that was in the garden that God had made. And he said unto the woman, and here's what he says. And this is so important. The first thing out of his mouth, and God is recording it here, and it tells everything that is to follow. And this is such an important thing. He says here, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So the first thing the devil does out of his mouth is question the word of God. That is so significant, because if you destroy faith in the word of God, if you question it, if you pervert it, if you destroy it, you do not have a defense against the devil. You see, when the devil tempted Jesus, what did he do? He quoted the word of God. And we are in a spiritual world. And they had a group called Gnostics, and they said that material things were bad and spirit was good. But that was a false teaching right there, because there are good and bad spirits. And the good spirit is the spirit of God, and he is called the spirit of truth and the spirit of holiness. And the devil spirit is an evil spirit, although sometimes he dresses himself as the spirit of light. But the devil's primary job is not the bar, but is questioning God's word. And today we have people that question God's word. We have on radio stations and in television, on television, in Bible institutes and so on, people that use different translations, but these translations do not come from the same text. They always keep saying all the time, the Greek. Well, there's all kinds of Greek text, and these texts don't agree with each other, and they don't agree within each other in hundreds of places. For instance, we have Nestle's 23rd edition, and that's the basis of the New American Standard Version. But then they apparently didn't get it right according to them, so we put out the Nestle's 24th edition. That is the basis of the New International Version. But that Nestle's Greek text is changed. I mean, there was 24 editions of the same text constantly being changed. So the New ASV and the NIV can be shown to disagree with each other in many, many places. Now, who's behind that? Is that God? The Bible says that God, the Holy Spirit's the spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. Simple logic says that if these two disagree with each other, they cannot be the same. You know, Brother Al, we gave the phone number of the book last week. Do you have that there by any chance?
I do not have it with me. Do you have the book there?
Yeah, it's Bible is God's
which
Word?
Which Bible would Jesus use?
Yeah, which Bible would Jesus use? Thank
I'll look
you.
That up and by Mick give Elroy. It to you a little later.
Yeah, and we want to give you this. Which Bible would Jesus use? We talked about it in a program last week. And in there, it exposes what is being taught in Bible institutes and behind all these modern version things, and he does it such a good job. Every Christian ought to get this, and you get your pen and paper out, and when he later on he gives you the phone numbers, you can call and order this book. you ought to get this book, read it through about three or four times, and then order some extra copies and send them to preachers and to your friends and to young men studying for the ministry, because it tells how they were to subvert them. Now, I have been studying this thing for 30 years, and I have read all sides of this thing, pro and con, everything I could get my hands on. And I like the way this fellow has put it, because he's put it in such simple language, and he's come right to the core of the issue. But Satan, he questions God's word. When you put out all these different versions that disagree, that's questioning God's word. After a while, somebody says, well, what is the truth? And that's why we have this program, Where is God's Word? Because we talk about where is the truth. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. So eventually, the false perversions that have been put out, they just disappear. And I have known numbers of them since I've been studying this subject that have just gone out of use, and you hardly hear about them at all. Some of them are popular today, but they're on their way out also. But the true word of God, the Holy Spirit's the spirit of truth, and the Bible says he will guide you into all truth. And Jesus says, I have given them my words, the people thou hast given me in John 17. I have given them the words. And so the Bible that you had when you were a child, the Bible that's in circulation, the Bible that you can buy many times at Walmart or the dollar stores, that's the one that's circulating. It's sold 5 billion copies around the world. That's the one the Lord says he has given us his words, the King James Bible. And the other ones are just man-made counterfeits. You know, it's interesting that I have noticed in talking to Muslims that they will bring up, you Christians have many Bibles and we only have one. Well, you know, they're listening to some of these Bible critics that are putting out some of the falsehood, and they're teaching their young people in Saudi Arabia and these places about that. And they're saying, well, if Christians have a corrupt Bible, why should you believe it? We don't have a corrupt Bible. The King James Bible is not corrupt. And we can say, like James, we can look at the perfect law of liberty. It is the perfect word of God. And I always tell them, like I say, we have only one Bible. It's the King James. The rest are counterfeits. And that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So the devil comes to Eve, and the first thing that he says is, yea, hath God said. And you need to remember that. The devil is a spiritual being, and he is wicked, and he is evil, and the Bible says he is a liar from the beginning. And the only way we can tell the truth and lie in religion, people sometimes have a smorgasbord religion. Everything that sounds good to them, you know, they put that together. What sounds bad to them, they put that, take that out. You know, it's like going to a smorgasbord restaurant. Truth is not like that. And Jesus said, I am the truth. And then he said, my word is the truth. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're accepting his words. He is Lord through his words. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord? Do not the things that I say. So now he says this, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Now, she had already been given the true text, but now she revises the word of God. She says, we may eat. God said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees. God said, we may freely eat of the trees. If you read if you read the previous chapter, you'll see that God told Adam that they may freely eat. And God warns about taking out words or adding to words. So she takes a word out. She takes freely. Do you know that that's the heart of all of Christianity? Most religions teach that you have to work your way to heaven. If your good way works outweigh your bad, maybe you'll make it in. That is totally false. God says, none are righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The best person that ever lived would come short of God's standard of holiness and righteousness. We all do. So we need a Savior. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he died, he was punished for every sin we ever committed. Therefore, we do not have to be punished, and no Christian will be punished in the future. Jesus was punished in our place. and he lived a perfect life. We'll never live a perfect life. And Jesus' perfect life is counted to us by faith. That's faith in him. That means when I receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, I repent of my sins, I receive him as Lord and Savior. At that point, God counts my sin to Jesus, and he counts his perfect righteousness to me. That's how it works. And it's a free gift. You know, everybody gets to heaven on welfare. I know we don't like the idea of welfare, most of us. We want to work for what we get. But I'll tell you, when we go to heaven, we're going on welfare. We're not getting there. And that's a humbling thing, and a lot of people are going to miss heaven, spend eternity without God. But you get there freely. So what she do? She takes out freely. In Romans, there's a place where it talks about salvation in the modern versions, and the word freely is taken out. And key words are taken out. So of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Now, she adds here, she adds, neither shall ye touch it. Now, people sometimes they get in an argument, they make the other person sound worse than they actually said it. They change their words, make it worse. God never said they shouldn't touch it. So she has taken out a word. Now she has changed, she has added a word. God says you should not take it out. And he says a curse on anybody that takes it out or adds it. So she adds it. God didn't say you shouldn't touch it. And then it says, she says, lest you die. So here she changes the word. God didn't say lest you die. God said you will surely die. You know, people think, well, maybe, you know, there are a lot of people out there, you know, maybe I live a pretty good life, try to pay my bills, take care of my wife and children, and I go to work every day, and maybe I'll make it, you know, I'll do the best I can. I go to church, I've joined the church, and I hope for the best, and I'll probably make it. But I don't know for sure, you know, and so you're afraid. Why are you so terrified of death? You're terrified because you just not don't know. She changes where God said you shall surely die. You see, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you will surely die and spend eternity in hell without God. That is taught as an absolute certainty. Now, if you want to disbelieve Jesus, you want to disbelieve the whole Bible, which teaches this, and you say it's all a lie, and you want to risk that you're telling a lie, that the Bible's telling a lie, you want to risk your eternity on that, go ahead. But it's not a wise choice. You know, somebody gave this illustration. I thought it was a good one. You know, somebody said that they're going to have an airplane flight, but there's a rumor that something could go wrong to the plane. And if there's something wrong with it, it might crash. Well, would you get on a plane like that? I mean, if there's a possibility that it might crash? They have a lot of planes like that crashing in Russia. They call it, used to call the Russian plane system Aeroflot. Now they call it, some of them call it Aeroflop, because a lot of them are falling down. Their gas meters aren't working, you know, and they run out of gas and fall. But I'm telling you, the thing is, you don't want to get on a plane where there's a chance, or somebody says there might be a terrorist on the plane. You wouldn't get on that plane. You wouldn't risk it. See, and you're risking that the Bible is wrong, that Jesus is wrong. You're risking your eternity on that if you don't repent and receive Jesus Christ. Now the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." Now they have a whole group of churches. There's no hell. All is well, there is no hell, you know. Well, they're air conditioning their future. That's what they're trying to do, you know. And the devil says that. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So now he says, look, if you believe what I says, you'll be like the gods. Boy, they're saying that today, aren't they? You'll know good. And so she takes and eat of the tree of knowledge. That's the problem. Just because a person has a PhD, or a DD, or has a group of degrees and knows a lot of knowledge, doesn't mean that that knowledge is true. And that's what a lot of people believe. Just because the guy's got a degree You can believe what he says. No, we got to believe what the Word of God says. And so God warns us today, and he has given us this word. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. A stranger will they not follow, and God's sheep.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.